We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Time now for Laird and Fitzy. Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
Oh, baby. In for Ken Laird this morning, it is Chris Curtis alongside my man, Nick Fitzy Stevens, down in the Cape. What's up, buddy?
I love the fact that it's 1 p.m. in the afternoon, Curtis, and you called it this morning. Off to a hot start, kid. Life's good, my man.
Oh,
coming
man.
To you from my beautiful Shaw's and Star Market, Cape Cod Broadcast Studios. Curtis, it is 68 sunny and just damn near perfect. And I want to say, no matter how today goes, no matter how you may try to get under my skin with your new besties, Tom Brady and Antonio Brown, there is oysters and a martini at sunset waiting for me. So let's have a party, pal.
Oh, man. What an unbelievable Friday night October surprise last night. I think that began and was done within an hour. There was the first tweet from Aaron Wilson, I believe, was the guy.
That's right.
And then within that hour, Schefter had the deal done. He was in Tampa Bay getting the physical all set. And the absolute jealousy and anger among the media and the fans around here today is spectacular.
It is. You know what? The shock, the awe, the jealousy, the anger, the frustration, and the feigned indifference is the equivalent to, did you ever see that video where one firework accidentally went off and the entire San Diego fireworks barge went off in 30 seconds and it just lit the sky and you could see for miles?
Yes.
Just incendiary danger, but spectacular views nonetheless. That has been the last, I would say, 17 to 18 hours on social media, traditional media, and just in all media, in all football circles, especially in Pats Nation. I'm glad you pointed out how quickly things turned around and Antonio Brown was deciding between Seattle and Tampa Bay. And, well, look, he's already there. He's begun his COVID sequestering. This is unbelievable. He's already in quarantine. The deal is done. Isn't it just like the way Gronk, like Karen Garigian hinted that Gronk wanted to unretire, and then within 90 minutes, he unretired, got traded to Tampa, signed a deal, and then like thanked the Patriots and like announced how excited he was to go to Tampa Bay. Very similar.
Yeah, that's the one good thing about social media is that it forces these writers to report so fast the second any story breaks that they're almost always done within an hour. But before we get going, after I said this morning, because I couldn't hear myself in my stupid headphones.
Hey, man, it's all good.
I neglected to mention that this hour is sponsored by McFarlane Energy. Saw one of their trucks this morning in Southie. And their new customer oil delivery incentive at McFarlaneEnergy.com.
So outstanding.
This morning, right after I was listening to a little Cattles and Heart, I clicked on the interwebs and I saw a story from my man, Greg Bedard.
Now, you called me, you said my man, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and I know for a fact that we had us a year on the morning show, but everything is good in our broadcast and Patriots rooting or hating hood. However, when you say my man Bedard, I feel like, I don't know, there might be a little lemon on the tongue.
Yes, there is a little. He removed my free subscription when I made some comment about how he appeared on a different radio show. And anyway, so I only have the first three paragraphs because that's what he posts for free.
Okay.
But this is, the only word for it is stunning.
Okay, stunning.
Here's what Bedard wrote today. On one hand, Tom Brady wants us to literally buy his wholesome persona. Mr. Family Guy, humble roots, doesn't offend anyone. The long shot everyone counted out time and again. Mr. All-American. And then he keeps wanting to play football with Antonio Brown. Gross. Brady can't have it both ways. Now, I will ask you a question.
Please.
What in God's name does it say about his parenting and skills as a family man that he plays football, likes playing football with Antonio Brown?
It's interesting you say that, Curtis, because something that's been swishing around that hop-soaked pizza crust-filled head of mine all day long today is the idea that while the talent of Antonio Brown is unmistakable and basically unparalleled, and it makes complete sense that Tom would want to bring him down there if he can and he's available, despite what Bruce Arians said, not a fit for our locker room, no, not going to happen, that he still does. Okay, obviously Brady's calling the shots down there now. And if they're in win at all costs, win now, 2-year deal, win mode before Arians retires and the Tampa Bay $50 million 2-year deal is over, that's fine. But something else, this whole idea, like when I read that tweet, I think it's from Andy Ruther, the idea that Brady had Tony Robbins spend an hour on the phone this past offseason to try to condition Antonio Brown and make him more of an emotional reclamation project. It goes back to that 11-minute soundbite he gave us last fall on the Greg Hill Show one Monday morning, where he just went on about, you know, the way people are raised and sometimes people have the wrong idea or misconceptions about someone and their heart. And this not only opens up the idea that Tampa Bay is now the absolute odds-on Super Bowl favorite, let alone NFC champ favorite, but also that TB12 is expanding its horizons well beyond making sure that your knees and your legs don't hurt, that you're more pliable, you know, and that your body is in an alkaline state. I think he's going for, like, total mind and body overhaul now.
I agree, and I think that this move last night and the reaction we've seen from it, I think the reaction really started quietly when Le'Veon Bell signed with the Chiefs. Because that's a guy, when Brady's here, we talked about it on the Greg Hill Show, that guy always landed in New England. The guy that was incredibly talented on a bad contract playing for a bad team that wanted to improve his value, he would always come to Foxborough. Well, that place now is Kansas City because they have Mahomes, they're the reigning Super Bowl champs, etc. And then you have Tom Brady down in Tampa, finally allowed to have more control, to be heard within the front office, and to help design a team suited for him. And it's just, he's got to be sitting there this morning saying, why did I wait so long? Why couldn't I get out of there fast enough? This is the best. I mean, how happy is Tom Brady this morning, and how miserable are Patriots fans?
Patriots fan, first of all, how happy is Tom Brady this morning? I would tell you how happy he is, but because he's had so much Botox, I can't see a legitimate emotion on his face anymore, Curtis. That's a free shot for you, because I knew that you would react to it. No, how happy is Tom Brady this morning? He's over the freaking moon. He's dancing around like he just had a nightshade-free meal, man. Are you kidding me? Brady knows that he's the favorite in the NFC. Brady knows that it's his Super Bowl to win. And yes, maybe if we're going to go play the spiteful Brady versus Belichick card, he absolutely has the upper hand right now. I think Patriots fans, by and large, though, just sort of like not chumming the waters last night, but sort of just like pinging the waters to try to get a feel for things after I put a couple of my own thoughts out there, out and about and around. I have a feeling it's more along the lines of, okay, that's fine. I kind of knew it was going to happen. That sucks. But I'm more concerned with things in my own house right now, because they need to get in order, and they need to get in order fast. And to the idea that Belichick never gave Brady what he wanted, when you said moments ago, Curtis, why did I wait so long to get out of here? What was I thinking? Why did I stick around that dump for so long? It was a pretty successful dump, number one. Pretty successful dump, number one, considering he only spent 1 year after he won a Super Bowl, as frustrating as living with Belichick may have been.
Oh, my God. Sorry, Nick. That has to be a T-shirt. A pretty successful dump.
Yeah, 100%. That's my new mantra for the Brady Belichick years. Yeah, it's a dump. It's a pretty successful dump, though. But, Curtis, go back to, I retweeted it when I saw someone put it out this morning, and a lot of people were discussing it, because Brady now obviously has his super team. He's got the bones of Gronk. He's got whatever's left of Crazy Town Tony Brown, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rojo and Leifo, or whatever you call Leonard Fournette. They're stacked.
Not to mention their defense is absurd.
Their defense, everyone is sleeping on their defense. They're giving up less than 3 yards a carry. Secondary's pretty good. That's about the only spot you can be had, but they got 2 of the 10 best linebackers, and Lavonte David is playing at Defensive Player of the Year level right now. But go back to that picture on the sidelines, Curtis. Second game of the year last year, 43-0 win for the Patriots in Miami. And sitting on the bench next to Brady, You had Edelman, and you had Antonio Brown, and you had Josh Gordon, and Philip Dorsett was walking by, and everyone thought, why are we going to even bother showing up to the Super Bowl? It's over. And then look what happens just 6 weeks later. A week later, Antonio Brown's gone. Edelman hurts his ribs against the Jets. He's never the same player the rest of the year. Philip Dorsett can't, you know, can't find an open door or window, let alone an open route or lane to get past to. Josh Gordon, you know, loses his mind again and gets cut from the Pats. So you got to be careful, man.
Yeah, I think the one defense that Patriots fans have against the giddy Bucks this morning or this afternoon is that dream super teams never win titles. Like, go back to the Lakers, go to the 07 Patriots, go wherever.
The 2011 Eagles, the right. team that labeled themselves the dream team.
Yeah. Right, so that is the one thing that concerns me as a guy that's rooting for Brady to get his seventh ring. But even if he doesn't win it all this year, look at what Tom Brady did to the Patriots, who the irony is he won 12 games in his final year, and it was a disappointing season. Before he took over as quarterback in 2001, they never did that. In the history of the Patriots, they never won 12 games in a regular season. In his final year with the Patriots, he wins 12, and they're saying, eh, crappy season. Second of all, you have completely transformed another city. That was the Foxborough, the New England Patriots, before Brady and Belichick brought them to six titles. The Bucks were the laughingstock of the NFL. And this morning, they're the epicenter of the sports world. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the number one story in all of sports right now. And it's everything to do with the arrival of Tom Brady, the desire of other star players to go and play with him, and his ability to have some sway in the front office and get people like Antonio Brown aboard. I mean, he could not have planned this any better than where he's sitting right now.
No, he has played his hand perfectly. He has the say he wants. The offense is now starting to look more like his offense than it is Bruce Arians' offense. So maybe there's a little come to Jesus meeting of the minds in the offensive coordinating room these days. Maybe Leftwich and Arians and Brady have all come together and figured out how to go. The Ronald Jones is whatever his name, Rojo, is running out of his mind. Hey, he was picked a couple picks after Sony Michel. Hey, Bob LaBelle boys, how come we can't get guys like that? Everything is working out perfectly, absolutely perfectly for Brady right now. The fact that Tampa is the epicenter of the sports universe, forget the Bucks, Tampa Bay is on the verge of becoming the new title town. I mean, you got the Stanley Cup. These guys are the freaking razor in the World Series. They're only down 2-1, and now Brady is almost a shoe-in for the NFC title game, let alone the Super Bowl, Curtis. That is the Tom Brady effect. I don't want to get into the Tom Brady effect of making somebody who is so crazy that he would throw a bag of, you know, gummy dongs at a cop and swear in front of his kids on Instagram Live. I want to talk about the fact that wherever Brady goes, the winning follows. That's the at Michigan, it happened. In Foxborough, it happened. And now in Tampa, of all places, which I call an urban Gronk bus with a view of the beach, it's happening again.
Well, and you even look at, there was a great tweet by Feidelberg who had this like breakdown that one of his listeners sent to him, even dating back to when he was growing up in the Bay Area, all the titles they won in the Bay Area. And then when was at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, the Red Wings won. Like, every place he's physically been has transformed into a title town. It is.
Oh, that's
insane.
Right. And that's right. That breakdown by that. We should find that and retweet that out again. It's unbelievable. Literally, where he physically is, that place becomes a home of winners. A championship aura is emitted as well. Unreal. Curtis.
It is. And I'm actually very interested today to see where Patriots fans lie here in the afternoon of October 24th. Are you mad at the Patriots? Does this enrage you that they allowed Brady to leave, that they couldn't treat him the way he wanted to be treated, didn't give him more sway in the front office? Or are you sitting there saying, this is going to be a dumpster fire? The Antonio Brown, I think Rob Bradford wrote a story at EEI.com saying he can't root for Brady anymore. This is just the last straw. He's become what we all mocked before he was a Patriot. This is just compiling talent, not building a team. So I'm curious where you stand today. 617-779-7937. Coming up at 2 o'clock, Boston's least favorite person, Ben Bolin. will join us to talk a little bit about the Pats.
What about his no professional bona fides or his resume or anything? Just literally Boston's least favorite person.
I mean, you got to be, if you're first or last, I mean, you're someone. So I think it's something he's proud of. But yeah,
if you're not pissing people off, Curtis, you know the rule. If you're not pissing at least 50% of the audience off, you ain't doing it right.
Right. I do 80-20 pissed off, and that usually works for me. And,
oh, that's how I like my burger meat percentage. So that's great.
And coming up with Ben, we're going to get into, of course, the Antonio Brown situation. But at 2 o'clock, I want to get into Jimmy G. Brady. To me, it is the second best debate in Boston sports outside of what happened to Butler. What did the Patriots do with Jimmy G? Were they smart? Does drafting him create that double dynasty that fueled Brady to win three more? Was it dumb? What do you guys think about who won? Are you happy that they got rid of Jimmy G? Would you want him back after the season? So that interests me with Ben Volen. But first, we'll get to your calls at 617-779-7937. He's Fitzy down the Cape. I'm Curtis here, and we're going to get to what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, I hope we're not recording this. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Antonio Brown, my man, and the Tampa Bay Bucks have reached an agreement on a one-year deal for just over the veterans minimum. If all goes well with COVID protocols, Brown is expected to make his debut in Week 9, the rematch against the New Orleans Saints. The Pats, who are 2-3, are heading into tomorrow's game, are getting ready for a date with Jimmy G and the 3-3 49ers. Kickoff is set for 4:25. James White returned to practice yesterday. The 49ers will be without their two starting safeties in the game. And no more new positive tests for either the Raiders or the Saints. Their games this weekend are still on as scheduled. Pro Football Talk reporting today that the Saints could trade superstar wide receiver Michael Thomas for the right price. Into him there, Fitzy?
Ooh, I mean, he carries a hefty price tag, but all that guy does is get open. Can't guard Mike, man.
Bedard doesn't want him because he punched a guy, and he's going to be a bad family guy on the bench. After us, it's BC football. Go Eagles at 3:30 against the Georgia Tech Rambling Wreck at the Heights. Don't forget, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker. Just say, play WEEI. Powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's what's trending now at EEI and EEI.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
Too much miscommunication, too much diva. I've heard so many stories, and I like Antonio. He plays as hard as anybody on Sunday, and he practices hard. But he's got to make better decisions off the field, be on time, do some of those little things.
Oh, burn Tampa Bay. You said that, now you have him on your team. You're a two-face. You're a flip-flopper.
Burn notice.
Oh, man. What? That is Bruce Arians on the Adam Schefter podcast in 2019 when asked if he would have AB back with him in Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians coached Antonio Brown with the Steelers and had several issues with him there. But clearly, the Tony Robbins, and by the way, Fitzy, the Tony Robbins thing, that's where I leave Brady. I don't get it. That is so silly. I saw him in 2017, I think. He was in Boston at the convention center in Southie.
Did you actually go?
I did. So it was a event. Reamer and I went to go react and get people's... there are so many people there, Nick, who swear by this man. They are overcome with it's like seeing the Pope or whatever. It's like this religious experience for them. And it's total bunk. It's just work hard and you'll see results. It's like, oh, okay, why'd I pay $80 for this ticket for you to tell me that? But anyway.
Yeah, if you put it out there, then you can realize it by saying it, and then working for it. Okay, I knew that already. Thanks.
He was like, you are what you eat. I was like, wow, break into that. That's crazy. But anyway.
Can I just point out one thing, though, on the Tony Robbins front? If we can just, have a little fun with the whole TB12 thing, believe me, I was just like everybody else when Tom was here, and I was, lock, stock, and, two pliable barrels, all in on lifestyle of TB12, whatever he did, slings and arrows. You can call me what you want for rooting for a cheetah and it's Tommy's, you know, saggy balls or whatever. I was always fine with that. And even the TB12 stuff, you know, like the Protect and the $50 bags of nuts and the $200 cookbook and everything else. Right. Fine.
$70 foam roller is really good, by the way.
Yeah, great. The $250 ball that rattles around like a $14.95 thing I can get for my 2-year-old at Toys R Us. Okay, great. But now, okay, you know, so he goes to Tampa. He's all in on the Tony Robbins. Now he's trying to make physical and emotional reclamation, spiritual reclamation projects of damaged but, you know, sublimely talented humans. And what is in Tampa as well, Curtis? That's right. A headquarters for the Church of Scientology.
Oh, my God. Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that is so perfectly Florida.
It is so perfectly Florida. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying that, you know, Brady, you know, prays to underwater aliens who, you know, live in volcanoes deep within the Pacific and all that jazz. But, like, the more Hollywood, the more, like, ethereal Brady gets, it makes me wonder in some ways, like, is he basically like football Tom Cruise? Like, Tom Cruise doesn't get old. Tom Cruise is only getting better in his action movies, and he's almost 60 years old. It's just it's a little something there, I think. It's a little something.
There are definitely parallels between his relationship with Guerrero and these people I saw in Southie a couple years ago's relationship with Tony Robbins. It's like this, they believe completely, and he believes entirely in this TB12 lifestyle that Alex Guerrero sold him many years ago. But let's get to the calls. We're asking the opinion of Boston fans, Patriots fans. How do you feel today? Did you stick with Brady? Are you happy this is sort of a shot at the Patriots from down there? You want to see him win his seventh? Or do you feel like this is why he's gone? It's all about him. These super teams never win. We'll hear from Dave in Connecticut first. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. I hope you guys are doing good. I just wanted to weigh in on what you were saying. I couldn't be happier for Tom Brady. I mean, he gave us so much. I'm a season ticket holder of Patriots. As soon as he went to Tampa, my brother and I jumped on tickets down there. So Tom Brady would have been in New England. Belichick decided, you know, he was going to play chess with him and didn't give him a contract. And, you know, he lost the chess match. Brady left, and he's gone. And I'm so happy for him. He did an unbelievable in New England. Now Tampa is going to be the place for these free agents, you know, because Brady's a winner. He knows how to win football games. He's proven it. And now he's in another city. And this morning, somebody earlier in the morning, I was heading to work, was equating Tom Brady to LeBron James. I'm like, he leaves town and he's nothing like LeBron James. And now it's, you know, your partner is talking about the Church of Scientology. I mean, where did that come from? I mean, well, the guy left. Let him be a football player. He's going to win. You know what he's going to do? He's going to hoist that trophy on Super Bowl Sunday, and instead of mocking the commissioner, he's going to be looking at Belichick and Kraft and saying, see what I did? And that's what's going to happen. We have moral victories now. Monday comes. Oh, it's a moral victory. We lost. We lose again. Moral victory. I don't think anybody could put moral victory on the Denver. I didn't hear that once, but that's right. What we do.
That was definitely not a moral victory. That was definitely not a moral victory. We have more than moral victories, and I think you'll find is Dave, right?
Yeah, Dave just dropped.
Oh, Dave dropped. Okay, I think you'll find that Patriots fans want Tom Brady to be happy. Just because I'm not rooting for the Buccaneers, I understand everything Dave is saying. Nobody did more. That was always my old sticky joke, you know, like no one's ever done more for New England that had a last name of like Claus, Adams, or Skywalker than Tom Brady. Come on, he is the greatest thing to happen to all of us.
And then you turned on him and said he had tennis elbow, but that's okay.
He did have that's not turning on somebody when you acknowledge the fact that they were having throwing issues last year, Curtis, for God.
Go on.
Just the same way that I love rooting for Cam Newton now, but I'll be the first to tell you his mechanics were god-awful last week.
Well, speaking of Cam Newton, I saw a quick interjection here, if I may.
Yes.
Does Greg Bedard think that Cam Newton's job as quarterback is affected by how he is as a family guy? Because, you know, I think Tom Brady would be considered a much better family guy than Cam Newton. But I digress. Carry on.
Are we going to get into the whole, like, he's two-thirds the way to being a full Cromartie because Cam Newton has 7 kids?
You said it, not me.
But you put it out there. May as well. Come on, baby. Finish what you started. You know what Van Halen said. I think you'll find that most Patriots fans want Tom Brady to be happy. I would never wish any ill will against Tom Brady. That's sacrilege. That's unconscionable to me. But just because I'm not rooting for the Buccaneers doesn't mean that I'm rooting against Tom Brady.
You'd be happy if this team fell on its face and didn't do much in the playoffs. That would make you happy because it would prove Belichick's point.
It wouldn't be about proving Belichick's point. I just want the Patriots to win. When the Patriots are good, I don't care what else happens. That's the thing. There's this cognitive dissonance between being able to understand that you root for the Patriots and that doesn't necessarily mean that you're rooting against Tom Brady. Like, people need to sort of like be able to figure out that there's a difference between the two. I want the Patriots to win first and foremost. That's the team that I rooted for before Tom Brady got there. Tom Brady made me love him and watching him and the Patriots that much more while he was there. And now I still love watching the Patriots. It's a different kind of football. I miss the hell out of Tom Brady in New England, but I'm a little too consumed with the rest of my life and my kids hanging all over me and the fact that my house is going to burn down every day to, you know, get a TB12 jersey and pull for the Bucks. I'm just not that into it.
Okay, if you're going to do the show outside, you should at least put pants on, Nick, okay, this morning. Thayer is joining us next from New Hampshire. Good morning, Thayer. How are you?
Very
I keep saying
great.
Good morning. God.
How
good
are you afternoon. Doing?
That's okay. You know what, Curtis? It's morning someplace, and it'll be happy hour soon enough. How are you, Thayer?
I don't want to cut anybody off, but it's great to hear from you guys. I mean, I like to hear this every day. But it looks to me like Tampa Bay is grabbing all New England Patriot players. They got Antonio Brown now, who will start in, I think, after Thanksgiving, right?
A couple weeks. Yep. You'll be there in
just
a couple weeks.
Just 2 weeks from now.
Good to hear from you, Thayer. I don't know where that was going. Let's go to Landon in New Hampshire. Good afternoon, Landon. How are you?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
Good, thank
you. What's up, Landon?
Great show. I listen to it every Sunday. I do deliveries and stuff. So, you guys, great show. But anyway, long story short,
yep.
I think you're cutting the Patriots a little short here, you know, especially with that Denver game.
Why is that?
You know, football's a timing game. I think you're going to see a big difference this Sunday against San Francisco. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Patriots come out and win by two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns. Wow.
Wow.
All right. Well, yeah. maybe that'll happen, Landon. Thanks for the call.
Your mouth to God's ears. Can I just point out something real quick? I was listening to Cattles and Heart for a while today, Curtis, and there was a point where they made a point to acknowledge how kind of wackadoodle the calls were during their show earlier, and then a lot of calls were coming in from like the northern half of New England. I don't know if it's just the pandemic or if it's the emotions that come with the turning of the season or if everyone is just on a bender, but we're off to a hot start.
I have to say my favorite part of that call before him, or maybe that was our Landon, our last caller, where he said, "I love the show. I listen every Sunday when I do deliveries." Mm-hmm. So that was...
It's the first time you and I have ever been on together on a Saturday. Thanks. First time, long time. First time, long time. Listen, I love you guys every day. That's why I listen on Sunday.
Yeah, at least Greg's not there. All right, Sean, Rhode Island. Let's see if we can improve here. How are you doing, Sean?
Not bad. How are you doing, fellas?
Good.
We're doing good. Sean, the caller bar is set very low right now, so you have nowhere to go but up for us, buddy.
All right. So, you guys should have a show more often because I do like both of you.
Thank you.
Curtis, I just wanted to ask how your sobriety is doing and before I get into my spiel.
It will actually be 4.5 years tomorrow. So doing well.
That's awesome, brother.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
Thank you for asking.
So, all right. First and foremost, I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm a fan of everything else in Boston and a fan of greatness. So I envied the Patriots dynasty as a Jets fan, and I respect what Tom Brady has done because I don't think we're ever going to see another player ascend to the level of greatness for the amount of time that he did.
Right.
So I still root for him in Tampa because I want him to continue pushing the envelope of what a 40-plus-year-old man can do in the league, and I'd love to see him win another Super Bowl just to show that, you know, he can do it, and it wasn't necessarily, you know, Bill or him. You know what I mean? That argument is getting stale, and if he wins one, then it'll be nice just to, you know,
have
not
an
hear
answer.
People say, well.
Yeah, that'll decide it if he gets okay. that, if he wins the seventh on his
exactly.
own.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's it.
I appreciate
Thanks,
the call,
guys.
Sean. Take care. Yeah, that's an interesting, a Jets fan who
a Jets fan enjoys who admire greatness.
I guess if you're a Jets fan right now, aren't you just kind of, or if you're a New York sports fan in general, I mean, think about, we think it's rough right now. You know, it's been, what, 10 months since a title? But the Giants and the Jets in my lifetime have neither have been more putrid without any future in sight. Like, Daniel Jones is in his second year. It looks like they're going to draft, if they get a chance, I mean, they'd be foolish not to draft Trevor Lawrence if they have an opportunity to. But if nothing else, there's going to be a competition next year against Daniel Jones. And the Jets, they're going to get rid of Gase. They're going to have a fourth pick. Was Donald fourth overall? He's a top five, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they I think, didn't they pass on Rosen and went up for Darnold?
Right.
Or no, you know what it was? They had three. They traded with somebody to go back to six and then picked up some draft picks in the process and then were still able to turn that into an absolute steaming pile of nothing.
Right. It's very difficult to be that major market with those resources, with those high picks, and to keep sucking the way those teams have both sucked. But I don't see any, I mean, who, if I'm Josh McDaniels, if you're a good head coach, are you going to the Jets? Is that appealing at all?
No, I'm not. I wouldn't. Hey, if that's like asking, if you're completely healthy, would you go to this melting down nuclear reactor? I would pass. I don't know. I wouldn't want to go. Like, it would make no sense. If you're Josh McDaniels, you need to go somewhere where there's at least some foundation pieces, where the house is already built and there's some talent that you can work with. You can't go somewhere where it's a rip it down, you know, to the all the way to the foundation and rebuild the entire. You don't want to go to a gut rental like
and
that.
You join Mangini if you go to the Jets. Ugh. And you're dead to Belichick. All right, let's go to Rob in Maine. Good afternoon, Rob. How are you?
Hey, boys. So if Brady was still on the Patriots would still suck. And if they beat, no one could get open last year.
No, that's a good point.
Why do we think anyone could get open this year?
It's
the same thing. Look, it's the same thing with Mookie Betts. Everybody says, oh, I can't believe we let Mookie Betts go. Well, if you surround Mookie Betts with the kind of players the Dodgers have with that lineup, he looks like even more of a stud than he actually is. And it's the same thing in Tampa Bay. You put Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk, now you bring in AB. There's about 10 quarterbacks you can plug in there and say, well, they're the favorite now.
Why do you think, Rob, I'm just curious as a Patriots fan, why do you think Bill has been so hesitant to add offensive weapons and pay players? You know, right now they're $25 million under the cap. Why do you think he hasn't been willing to do it when it's a clear need on the team?
Yeah, I think it is too. And look, that's just always been his MO. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or indifferent. That's just how he always does it. But I don't think he saw a team that $25 million can fix. I think he's playing a longer game than that. I think this year is going to be misery. I don't know. You have to assume he has a plan just because he's always been effective.
That's right.
I certainly don't understand what it is.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, Rob, that you can actually carry that money over to next year where the salary cap may drop from $200 or $200-plus million to $175 million. So Belichick could be holding on to that. He may also just want to see what this team is. And, you know, not waste any more draft capital or money when he thinks it's better to see what he's got. Because there's a lot of young pieces that they're building around, Curtis. It's not just Cam Newton's Patriots. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's the most dynamic playmaker they have on offense, which is, you know, both an exciting assessment and a sad indictment of what they're doing these days. But Belichick does have the money. He still has, there's still, like, it's only week 7, right? So there's still time for him to be able to add some pieces and make an impact not only on their playoff chances, but the AFC East race and beyond. That's why tomorrow, and I know we're still on the Antonio Brown, Tom Brady thing, but that's why tomorrow is such a huge game for the Patriots. That it's not a statement game. Tomorrow is an assessment game. You've got a good team with a good quarterback that you used to know. Emotions are riding high, but San Francisco is not fully healthy, so they can be had. Where are you? How good are you? And what's the future look like?
You could make an argument and not be lapped out of the room that tomorrow is one of the top five most important regular season games in Belichick's time with the Patriots. I don't think that's overspeaking or using, you know, hyperbole or anything. I think tomorrow is so huge because you go to 2-4 and then you go to Buffalo. You're on the verge of a season ending before Thanksgiving, but you win, you play well, your defense takes down Garoppolo, Cam Newton shows that last week was a fluke, and then Everything's back in play. I mean, it is such a massive game where it could go two ways very quick.
Spot on assessment. That's exactly what's at stake tomorrow. You win, you show that you're actually much better than you were in that putrid effort last week losing to Denver, and you get your season back on track. And basically, you and Buffalo are playing for bragging rights and or first in the AFC East next week. You lose, like you said, like that's a reality. I know you've been want to point out that basically with Tom Brady, it was 12 wins guaranteed for nearly two decades. And you could wake up in August and just say, like, well, I'm looking forward to watching the football. But, you know, remind me when it's January, when Brady's in the AFC Championship again, because that you could calibrate your expectations to that reasonably, because that's what they did every year. But now we're talking about the Patriots possibly being out of it or irrelevant before Thanksgiving. That's insane, but it's real.
And a lost Sunday equals the entire loss total of last year, which was a disappointing season among many Patriots fans. So let's sneak in Alex and Gardner before the break. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, I'm good. What's going on?
How are you, Alex?
Not much, bud. What's up?
Hey. Fitzy, Greg Hill. I've been listening to you guys for years, dude, on WEI. It's the first time I ever called, though.
I love a first time, long time.
Oh, yeah. Greg's great.
Yeah, I love it. Just wanted to talk about, Tampa really stealing our players like that caller said before. What's going on down there? Is Tom Brady the GM, kid?
Yeah, Tom Brady. Tom Brady has full control of the team now. Bruce Arians is just holding tight to his Kangol.
Well, let the record show he said onion sandwich. All right, coming up next.
Curtis, we are on a roll callers today.
I love this guy.
Forget about the fact that we have so much meat on the sports talk bone. I just want to be on the roller coaster ride of calls.
I mean, it was great. I haven't heard from my Uncle Alex in like 3 years. So anyway, coming up next, we are going to get some audio, Fitzy, that is going to rev up old school Pats fans, because they may be 2-3, under 500, not the greatest start, but they are still America's most hated team. We'll get to audio of the future possible vice president, or sorry, first lady, ripping your New England Patriots next.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
I know not all Pennsylvanians agree when it comes to Flyers versus Penguins, Steelers versus Eagles, but there are two areas where we can all be on the same page. Number one, we all want to see the Patriots lose.
And Dr. Jill Biden went on to say that we all Pennsylvanians can agree that we hate that Ken Laird calls us home. And it was really hurtful. And Ken is currently going across the great state of Pennsylvania, helping his mom move to Philadelphia. So the good son that he is, I'm in for him today. He'll be back on the Greg Hill Show Tuesday of this week after he gets 16 COVID tests when he returns to Boston. So,
oh my gosh, I can't even imagine how fearful he's going to be just about crossing a state line while being in his car and doing nothing but driving a U-Haul and getting things in and out of a storage locker. Ken.
Every morning I come in and we talk and he's like, did you see these numbers? I'm like, it's 4 a.m. I don't want to hear about COVID numbers in Revere right now. Let's just do the show. We're okay, but when this is over, hopefully, Ken will get back to normal at some point.
Curtis gave us one of the trigger phrases. Everyone do a shot.
In 10 to 15 minutes or so, the least popular man in Boston, the one, the only, Ben Volen, will join us from the Boston Globe to talk about Brady, the Bucks, and massive game tomorrow. Cannot be overstated the importance of the 49ers-Patriots games tomorrow. But right now, we'll get to back to the calls. Robert and Everett on Tom Brady. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. First time I've ever in my life called a radio station.
What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hey, well, let me address one thing. We have Brady, who has dedicated his life to winning, which everyone knows that. Now, the other thing he has done, he's so dedicated, number one, that he was willing to sacrifice his salary. May you please tell me one other sports athlete in any of the professional sports, any sport, hockey, football, baseball, basketball, what star, by the way, we can't forget that part, star player has sacrificed his salary so that he can better the team. And yet, on top of this, you ready?
Well, Robert, quick interjection. Jermaine Wiggins got paid in chicken parms when he played for the Patriots. So that's one example.
Okay. Yeah, but come on. We're talking apples and bananas, my friend.
Oh, good point.
You're talking about... thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. And the other thing is that Belichick, which was supposed to be the head honcho, never... May you please tell me once that he delivered besides Antonio Brown. I mean, not Antonio Brown. Randy Moss. Name one other time when Brady has renegotiated his salary just so that they can bring in some talent. And did they ever fulfill their commitment to Brady once?
Okay.
This is a great point.
Alex, correct?
Robert.
Robert,
no,
sure.
Robert.
Robert, Alex, okay.
Alex is the wife. No, Alex is the wife.
Oh, geez.
Oh, interesting, because we had a caller earlier named Alex who told us what he had for lunch and also dropped some colorful metaphors.
Oh, well, so, wait a minute. Hold on. Time out. That's a he. I'm talking she.
Very good.
Thank you for clarifying.
I appreciate that. Let the record show, Your Honor. This is one thing that actually kind of like, I'm not going to say it like, you know, gets my goat per se, no pun intended, but kind of frustrates me when people talk about name one other time that Belichick got Brady the weapons. Name one time that Belichick made sure to surround Brady with the talent he needed to win. Hold on one sec, Robert.
Go ahead.
We're losing sight of, this is a bit of a myopic view. We're not seeing the forest for the whole 53 trees here. And when I say it that way, I mean, one of the things that Belichick has always stressed is building a whole and complete team. Yes, Tom Brady was the fuel, and he was the engine, and he was the driver behind the wheel. I get it. But let's remember that Belichick is the one who helps pick the defensive players and the special teamers and the role players and the scrap heap guys. So whether it's trading for Moss and fleecing the Raiders and resurrecting his career, whether it's getting Kyle Van Noy off the scrap heap, whether it's finding a guy like a fourth round wide receiver in Matthew Slater, who becomes the greatest special teams player, Richard Seymour, all these different pieces. Belichick is a whole team developer. So Brady with a great team, maybe not the best weaponry, but if this, how many Super Bowls did Peyton Manning go to when he had Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison and Dallas Clark and Austin Colley and Edgerrin James?
But he was stopped because Tom Brady was there. I mean, I think that
he was also stopped because Ty Law and Rodney Harrison and Richard Seymour and Ty Warren and Teddy Bruschi and Roman Pfeiffer were there. That's the thing that, Curtis, that's not a good whole. I mean, you got to remember, Tom Brady literally didn't play all 22 positions on the field, and Tom Brady didn't become the full-blown aerial assault artist that he became and that he's been known to be, or rather that most people think of him, until 2007 onward. Before that, Brady didn't have to win a lot of games with spectacular nonstop downfield throws.
Okay, my turn for 1 second here.
Okay.
Matthew Slater, very good player, right? We only know who Matthew Slater is because the team wins Super Bowls. Matthew Slater is not the only good special teams defender in the NFL. I bet you the Chargers have a good gunner. I bet you they have a good special teams player that we've never heard of because they're not winning over and over and over again. We know about these complimentary players because Tom Brady brings them to championships. You know about the supporting cast with the Patriots more so than you do, I don't know, the Bengals, because the Patriots are a good team. Just like I knew the Bills supporting cast and Don Beebe and all those players because they were
And Steve Tasker, right. and you knew about Eric Metcalf because the Browns were good, but they always shot themselves in the foot. You knew about Dave Meggett because the Giants were good.
Right. You know those supporting cast players because Phil Sims, because Bill Parcells, because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You know them because the team is always
because Joe
winning.
Montana, you know who Tom Rathman is. And you saw that when you saw Edelman in the throwback picture wearing the Rathman jersey, you were like, oh, I know who that is. I know who number 44 on the 49ers used to be. I get all of that. I'm just saying we as Pats fans, as Patriots fans, we know these guys, yes, because we are the most prominent team. Sorry, Dallas, with all due respect, Pittsburgh and everyone else who claims to be America's team. You know, win or lose, love them or hate them, the Patriots are the most prominent football team in America, if not the most prominent sports team in America, and have been for a long time. Could they be at risk of losing that title, Curtis? That's a possibility.
Tampa Bay, today, on October 24th in the afternoon in the year 2020, is the epicenter of the sports world. The Tampa Bay effing Buccaneers,
yes,
the most
and you
mocked,
know what?
ridiculed franchise in all of sports, possibly, is now at the center of the sports world because Tom Brady came to town. Let's go to Craig and Sterling. Sorry, Nick, before you jumped in there and told me I was wrong. How are you doing, Craig?
Hello, Craig.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I feel like I'm listening to the weekday crew. Nice to see you guys get out of the producer booth.
Yeah. Thank you, Craig. What's on
your mind? Thank you, sir.
So does the migration of players to Tampa feel like the NFL is becoming the NBA? It seems like a lot of the players are just communicating amongst themselves. They're deciding, hey, we can take a few extra bucks less. We can come out of retirement. We can have this big, be our big foray back into the league. And it seems like the players are really managing the team rosters more than some of the actual coaches and managers at this point.
I think that's a good point. I think all sports right now is sort of going in that direction. I think it's difficult for the NFL. I don't know where you stand on this, Nick. I think it's a little bit more difficult because there are so many players required. There is a very tight salary cap, whereas the NBA, there's all these sort of different Larry Bird rules. I can't figure out the cap. It's a little bit easier to do when you only need two stars in the NBA versus,
right,
you know, 15.
Who gets a max contract, who gets a super max, how many years they're allowed to sign for, depending on when they were traded, I don't understand what an expiring contract is, aside from the fact that, yes, that contract is soon expiring. I understand the chronology of it. I just don't understand the financial benefit of trading for one. But it's also harder to manage the cap. I know there are those, you're the Felgarati, who say that, you know, it's salary cap equals salary crap. I mean, it still is something that people have to manage and navigate all the time. Is there a danger, though, that there could be a culture of super teams forming in the NFL? Potentially, but also it's more, you know, it's not as easy because of the fact that you have to have 53. You can get five fantasy stars. You can have a great running back, tight end, a quarterback, and two wide receivers. If you don't have an offensive line, a defensive line, decent special teams or a secondary, then it doesn't make a damn bit of good because you're still going to lose every game 45-40. So, again, it goes back to the whole idea of team building. And, Curtis, to your idea that the sports epicenter of the universe is Tampa right now, these things can be fleeting, and I'd like to remind you that Carthage was the center of the universe until the Romans figured out that they could go back in and salt the earth and burn the damn city to the ground. So, you know, let's not go celebrating before that becomes sports destination USA.
I was actually just going to say that. Let's go to
Hey, guys, how are you? You guys are great on the weekends. That's really good.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I got a couple of questions. First off, I'm wondering if, I know this is the second go-around with Tom Brady and AB. Now, question one, is he going to rent out his room there for AB to stay with him? And two, is he also COVID, because of the COVID-19 and the protocols, is he actually going to follow through and follow the rules?
Ooh, two good questions. One, I would say that I don't think Tom's going to have AB stay with him, but there's plenty of room in Derek Jeter's pad.
There's plenty of room at the Jeter pad. Are you kidding me? Maybe AB can take the, you know, Viv and the kids out jet skiing.
Get booming. And then the second one, I have to assume that Antonio Brown is well aware of the COVID protocols. And if he's not on the team, I don't think it will be because of a COVID violation.
But I heard somebody mentioned earlier, though, it was an interesting point, Curtis. You know, there are so many different, like, I want to say tripwires that you have to be careful of and navigate with somebody who's got an interesting personality, we'll say, like Antonio Brown. Could the fact that all of these COVID regulations are so restrictive be something that he's been told about but just really isn't used to and could frustrate him when he gets in there? Like, no, seriously, you have to eat your lunch in your car. Or like, no, seriously, you have to wear your mask all the time, or you can't do that.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I think that there is maybe a 15-20% shot at least that Antonio Brown never sees the field. He is such an unpredictable wild card that any rule that exists, he has the potential of breaking it just because that's who he is. But we're going to wrap up here. Coming up next, we have Ben Volen from the Boston Globe on the most important regular season game this decade for Bill Belichick and the Patriots coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.